Good morning, Campus Church. Welcome. We're so glad you're joining us for this digital service. If you're visiting with us this morning, man, we're so glad that you are here and joining us. And we hope that you'll come see us the next time we meet in person, and that will be January 4th. Just a couple of things before we get our service started this morning. First, January 4th is the next time we'll be back together. We hope you'll join us. That Sunday, I think, is going to be really extra special. We will spend that Sunday reflecting on what God has done over the past year. I hope that over this next week, you can start thinking about that so you can come prepared to reflect and think about and share what God's been doing in your life and in the life of this church over the last year. This morning, I want to invite you to rest as we worship together. You know, a couple of times a year, we take these Sundays off where we only have a digital service, and we do that because this is the pattern of people who follow God that we see throughout the Bible and throughout history. There's this pattern of work and rest, and Dusty talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but we want to follow that pattern. And so this morning, as we worship, it's a little different. We're not going to sing songs together. You'll get to hear from Marcus and Twenda McCrary, some of our shepherds, and you'll get to hear Dusty will welcome you to the table of the Lord. But I want to invite you this morning, as we worship together in all of our different living rooms and spaces, to rest. As we come out of this Christmas season and the chaos that is, and then head into the new year, I think we have a tendency to jump right into our New Year's resolutions and striving for the next thing. But also, I want to invite you to rest, to know that God isn't always requiring us to strive for the next thing, that God is present however we are. And so, as you listen this morning and as you take communion together this morning, I pray that you can do that with a worship posture of rest.
Good morning, campus. Mm-hmm. I'm Twenda McCrary.
And I'm Marcus McCrary.
And we want to share some thoughts as far as what shepherding looks like at campus. So I like to start with Peter 1, 5 through 5, 2, 3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. As we can see, Peter is one of them. He's going back and talking to the Christian church. He's a fellow elder himself. And he's giving some examples, and he's partaking of what the suffering of God, and he's giving instructions to the elders of the church. And I like to think about what a shepherd really is in the physical sense. A shepherd, here's what they do, staying watch over their flock night and day. So think about those shepherds manning the sheep. They're caring for them. They're protecting them. This is what shepherds do. They guide them to the good grasses, and they provide protection for them during danger. In the spiritual term, shepherding means emphasizing the willingness and eagerness to serve, not because we must, but because we want to. Jesus himself taught his disciples about servant leadership, where the greatest among them would be those who serve others. We at campus has had a legacy of great eldership. I think about when Marcus and I first joined, we were young. We're not that old now, but definitely we were in our younger stage, and we were shepherded with love, with care, with guidance. I think about all those great shepherds that have come before us, that have laid the foundation for us to emulate how they served and what they cared about. They cared about us. Mm-hmm. They cared about you all. Even to this day, we still keep in touch with many of them, you know, who are not here, but their shepherding plan was that helped us to become great shepherds today.
Mm-hmm. All right. And my Bible verse that guides my characteristics or my life as a person and as an elder is Jeremiah 29:11, mm-hmm. and it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." In the book of Jeremiah, you'll read a lot of things. One, that Jeremiah was chosen by God before birth. We all have a life to live, and God has a plan for that life. And we must seek him to fulfill that plan that he has for us. Jeremiah experienced a lot of trials and tribulations, imprisonment, death threats, and even the fall of Jerusalem. He warned of God's judgment on the people of Israel, but he also gave them hope in some of the words and his actions. As elders, we're defined and called to give true prosperity and success definitions to the world. In our world today, those are not being given. We hear a lot about instant success, instant gratification, and those are not the characteristics of God. God expects his prosperity to be those of spirituality, maturity, fruitfulness, and fulfilling his word. As servants of God, we must plan our days around his purpose and not our own. In our homes, with our families and friends, in our neighborhoods and workplaces, and even chance encounters with strangers, our lives must revolve around his will and serving his people. We also must be able to discern between what is messages coming from God and what are coming from false sources. As I go back to the instant gratification of this world, is not in God's plan. So in Jeremiah 29:11, he calls his people through Jeremiah to encourage patience, hope, words of encouragement and action, true success and fulfillment in life. In helping each other on our daily walk, serving God's will, during difficult times, we are showing that shepherding is an important part of our daily lives. So as we wrap up today in the two verses that Twenty and I have spoken about, we want to wish you Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's and many, many years of service to the Lord.
Happy holidays.
Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to the table of the Lord this morning. The great thing about online Sundays, besides getting to wear your pajamas all day, is that we get to share with each other in a little bit more intimate way, a little bit more time to talk about the table together. And so I'm going to encourage you to do that this morning. Keep your clicker nearby. I'll have you pause the service once in a while so that you can share. And then in your homes with loved ones, you can take communion together. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from the Message version this morning. I'll begin in chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word was first. The Word is capital W there. That's referring to Jesus. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the world. Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. I love Eugene Peterson's wording here. One of my favorite phrases from his version, The Message, comes in just a moment. But I want to ask you to, in just a second, push the clicker and share with one another as we prepare to share the table together. Where do you see the light shining in our dark world? All of us can point to things in our world that are sad and heartbreaking and discouraging, and sometimes it feels even hopeless. And it's our privilege to gather around the table and remind each other, where do we see Jesus coming into the world, continuing to make his presence known? Where do you see the light, the life light, as Eugene Peterson calls it, making its way into this broken world and redeeming it? So push the clicker and pause and share that with one another just for a moment. So I'm going to continue reading in verse 9. Eugene Peterson goes on, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world and the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. This is actually pretty close to John's rendering of the gospel, and it's almost a shocking reading of this thing that we call gospel, good news, that God has, in the form of Christ, come into the world and come to his own Jewish brothers and sisters, like Moses did, and is rejected as Moses was. He comes to his own. And first, they don't even notice him. And what those that do see him don't see him for who he is and don't want to have anything to do with him. So I'd love to get your clicker out again. I'd love for you to pause for a moment of reflection. Have there been moments in this year? Are there moments in your life or certain scenarios or challenges in your life in which you have discerned about yourself? You find yourself at times resisting the life light that is moving its way into your life. It's interesting that we are so free to criticize the darkness that is in our world, and yet we ourselves sometimes struggle with receiving the fullness of the light of Christ into our lives. So I want to ask you to think about that for a few moments this morning in silent prayer together, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, Spirit, where is it in my life that I tend to turn away or even push away and reject the coming presence of the light in my life? And if you're really brave and you feel comfortable with your loved ones, then share with one another that these are the times in my past, or these are the times even in my present, where I find myself being a little bit resistant to the coming presence of Jesus in the world. So finally, in this reading in chapter 1, but whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. And this is my favorite phrase. We've actually mentioned it a couple of times in this recent series. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that. I love that phrase, that Jesus coming into the world is like God moving into the neighborhood. God is moving into a neighborhood where no one or many don't want him. And it's an expression of the profound love of God. Not just that Jesus would abandon, as Philippians 2 says, abandon his position and his place with the Father and come and be among us, but that he would knowingly do this among a people who would reject him, who didn't necessarily want him near. Well, what we believe about the Gospels and what we celebrate at the table, among many other things, is that the neighborhood into which Jesus has moved now is our very hearts. It's our community, it's our city, it's our country, it's our world, and it is our very hearts. It's our whole selves, our minds, and our will, and our souls. The living God, the creator of the world, has moved into our very lives, into our very selves. And so, this morning, as you receive Christ's body broken for you in the bread, and as you receive Christ's blood shed for you in the cup, I invite you to celebrate this, that part of the celebration of the table is the celebration of the nearness of God among us. When we take him into our bodies, in a sense, we remind ourselves that God has moved into the neighborhood of our heart and our mind and our soul. And I want to ask you, want to share one last reflection with one another. How have you seen Christ present in your own heart, in your own life this year? How have you seen him making his way in difficult days, in glorious days, in celebrations, and in sorrows? And celebrate that together as you take the cup together this morning. I'd like to pray for us and then invite you in your homes together to share the table of the Lord. I want to remind you that at campus, we believe everyone is welcome at the table of the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are or who you have been or what you are or what you have done, what you have believed or what you do believe now, you're welcome at the table of the Lord. Let's pray together. God, as we've celebrated the waiting, the Advent, waiting for your arrival, and your very arrival, your move into our neighborhood this Christmas season, we celebrate it once again at the table of the Lord. We receive your body and your blood into our very selves, and we thank you for moving into our neighborhood, for being present even when we didn't see you, even when we rejected you, for your persistence and your love, your steadfast love. And we receive you today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to receive you in fullness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.